last word on the environment on Today FM.
With ESB Networks, connecting you to a clean electric future. ESBnetworks.ie.
John Gibbons is with us for our weekly environment spot. And John, you know, you've wound up the country's farmers in this spot on a number of occasions. Are you going to do the same now with fishermen of Ireland by saying introduce a no-take marine zone?
Good afternoon, Matt. I certainly hope not. I think it's one of these strange things where sometimes the more you take, the less you get. And
Lex, explain to me what a no-take zone is and where this idea is coming from in another part of Europe.
Sure. Well, first of all, at the moment, if you look around the world and, say, in European and Irish waters, very little of the marine area anywhere in the world is protected. Now, some of it is nominally protected. So, for example, the European Union has set us a target, and Ireland has signed up to this target, that we're to protect 30% of our territorial waters. Now, the territorial waters around Ireland are probably 10 times the land area of the island. So this is a big area. Now, I was looking into this to see, well, what about our current, what we call MPAs or marine protected areas? Now, at the moment, they cover about 2.6% of that territorial water. But in fact, in reality, fishing continues in all of these marine protected areas. So they're kind of a little bit of a misnomer. So we're looking basically at about 98% of our marine territory is completely unprotected. There's no protection for it whatsoever.
So when you say protection, is it protection against overfishing or is it protection against other sorts of environmental damage?
Well, here we're specifically talking about two types of fishing, kind of regular overfishing and, of course, trawling, and specifically bottom trawling. Because bottom trawling is a whole other category of damage from the marine ecological system point of view. And
in what way? What damage does... I can imagine, but tell us, what does bottom trawling
do? Okay, maybe if I can describe it this way. Imagine if you could say, let's take the Amazon rainforest, right? And let's imagine a fleet of bulldozers driving straight across and scraping everything off. That is what trawlers do to the seafloor. Now, the seafloor is where, basically, where fish, for example, and obviously bottom feeders, but also where fish, the eggs hatch. So if your various species, they hatch, they have to attach to something, so they hatch in the seafloor. So trawlers come along, they pull huge metal chains behind these powerful trawlers, and they have hooks in them that dig into the seafloor. And what they're trying to do is to dig up clams and shells and so on. But in so doing, they basically completely obliterate the entire ecosystem of the seafloor. So every year, Matt, an area about a third of the size of the European Union is bottom trawled. That means that area...
Is that not like ploughing a field? Does it not resettle again so that it can be of use again the following year?
This is no field. Well, ploughing, that's a whole other day's story, but this is no field, right? What, in fact... A scientific report came out during the summer this year, and it's really pretty extraordinary, just on the subject of bottom trawling. What they discovered is that bottom trawling emits as much carbon dioxide as the entire global aviation industry, right? So we're talking about approximately 1 billion tons a year of CO2. Now, you might say, what on earth's going on here? Why is all that CO2 being emitted from the bottom of the ocean? What's happening is that normally the process for drawing down, the oceans draw down carbon by creatures dying and they fall to the seafloor and the carbon is sequestered and stored.
So that's a carbon sink, is it?
That's a massive carbon sink. So along come the trawlers and they dig it up and they disturb the seafloor, and that carbon, that settled carbon, is then mixed back with the water. It increases acidification of the water, and it also reduces the ocean's ability to draw CO2 from the atmosphere. So we're talking here about massive damage. And it's really important to say, Matt, nobody is paying for this and nobody's monitoring it.
So how much of that is happening in Ireland? I mean, I thought the seas are so deep around Ireland. Is it not too difficult to do bottom trawling?
We have bottom trawling around Ireland. Obviously, it depends. You're not going out into the deep ocean for bottom trawling. So this is going to be happening closer to shore. Now, there's a really interesting thing, by the way, that's occurred in the UK. Greenpeace are currently being sued by the British government. What Greenpeace have been doing is they've been sending ships out into what's called the Dogger Bank. That's in the North Sea. It's a shallow area, and they've been dropping large boulders into the sea. And the reason they're doing, and this, by the way, is into a marine protected area. The reason they're doing this is to prevent trawlers from trawling it. So basically, if you trawl over a protected area and there's huge boulders in it, your equipment is likely to get damaged. So the British government, rather than protecting the marine protected areas, has taken Greenpeace to court to have them stopping doing this. So we have this perverse situation where the British government, rather than protecting what it's signed up to with its own marine protected areas, is in fact taking action.
Something else that just struck me, that if we have, and this is away from fishing, but I know there's legislation has gone through to ban new drilling for oil and gas in Irish waters. Because it just strikes me, it's not just the, if you were to extract oil and gas, that that would have an environmental impact. Even the mere fact of the drilling itself must do an enormous amount of damage, does it?
There's enormous damage done with prospecting for fossil fuels. And the main damage is done, they use sonar techniques. These are really high-powered submarine sonar. And what that is does is penetrates the seafloor trying to find oil deposit. It also drives marine creatures crazy. So we've had, for example, huge numbers of whale beachings which have followed either military or commercial sonar activity. Basically, these are creatures that have incredibly sensitive hearing. And the sea, like the noise emitted from submarine sonar is so intense that animals will crawl out of the sea to avoid it.
OK, but as listeners say, you might have a no-take zone. Would that just apply to Irish fishermen, or would it be open for Spanish ships and the rest under EU laws?
Well, this is the thing, and I'm sure the fishermen listening to us today will be saying that, by and large, by the way, Irish fishermen have done poorly in terms of our share of the European pie, and that is a fair point. However, within 6 nautical miles of our shore, only Irish boats are allowed in that zone. And in fact, the outgoing Marine Minister Michael Creed, in fact, brought in regulations to restrict the large trawlers, you know, the super trawlers, from coming inside that 6 mile zone. But unfortunately, some fishermen took that decision to court and the decision was overturned. So we now have these huge trawlers coming in close to the shore. And these things are basically, I mean, they really are extraordinarily effective. And I think it's a kind of an unfair battle here, because we have the situation where when we say fishing, what we mean by that is we're hunting wild animals. 70% of the earth is covered by water. So it is a wild zone. It's as wild as the jungles of Africa. Yet we, by and large, we frown on hunting for bushmeat and so on.
A lot of listeners saying, look, they can agree with your idea of a no-take marine zone, but they're saying at present the problems aren't caused by Irish fishermen. They are small scale by comparison with the massive factory ships coming from mainland Europe, especially from Denmark.
Completely agree with that. And that's why we have to, we're part of the European Union. And this, of course, by the way, has been complicated by the fact of Britain's withdrawal from the Union. So we've had to, we're currently renegotiating over fishing rights with Britain now as a non-EU member. But your caller is absolutely correct. Ireland, we can't do this alone. We have to work for stronger EU regulation. And I think what's really important to stress here is that when you overfish, everybody loses. When we've discovered, for example, that say since 1970, the global fishing fleet has more than doubled in that time, but we're into that law I referred to earlier of diminishing returns. We're hunting down the food chain. The marine food chain is collapsing. Now, there's UN data that says that 80% of the world's fisheries are in a state of advanced depletion or collapse. 80% of the world's fisheries. Now, when we say the world's fisheries, Matt, we're talking about 80% of that 70%
of
the surface.
Yeah, but that would suggest then it's unilateral action by Ireland is going to make a damn bit of difference. This has to be done at an EU level.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, but now we are, because we're an island nation, we have a very substantial territorial waters. And your listener is correct. The big problem here is these mega trawlers. These trawlers, for example, one trawler is capable of taking out 7,000 tonnes of fish on each pass. And on top of the fish, of course, we also have the issue of bycatch. Something as well, Matt, that your listeners mightn't be aware of. It certainly came as a surprise to me. 30% of the global fish catch is never eaten by humans. This is apart from the stuff we throw back. This is for fish meal, which is fed to cattle, pigs, chickens, and of course, farmed fish. So 30% of the wild fish being destroyed to feed to livestock.
Davey says China has thousands of factory ships emptying the world's waters illegally.
And Davey is absolutely correct. And it's a huge, huge problem. In fact, China, that list I mentioned earlier about bottom trawling, this is a huge problem in China. But as I say, are the oceans that lap past Ireland are the same oceans that lap past Antarctica and China. So on this one, we really are all in it together.
Or not. John Gibbons, our weekly environment correspondent. Thank you very much. See you again next Thursday.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today.